This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Final hour of Ben and Woods. You said the Padres made a signing yesterday. I didn't see that.
Yeah, went under the radar. I'm looking for it because I forgot.
You forgot who it was.
Hang on, I got you.
All right,
you
I haven't seen it at all. Yes, please.
San Diego Padres. Oh, a couple. 2 minutes ago. Here's this one. Check this out. All San right. Diego Padres have signed Jace Bowen to a minor league contract. The outfielder had a .272 batting average along with 37 RBI in the minors this past season. And then yesterday, San Diego Padres have signed Nick Schnellzilla.
Schnellzilla.
As he's affectionately
Schnell.
Known. To a minor league contract. The outfielder hit 23 home runs along with 84 RBI this past season in the minors. So,
couple of minor league spring training invites?
22 hours ago, the San Diego Padres have signed Carlos Rodriguez to a minor league contract.
C-Rod.
The outfielder had a .283 batting average along with 237 RBI throughout his minor league career.
Sounds like Padres are going to be loaded in their double and triple A outfield
You needed bodies.
This coming season.
You needed bodies down there. And that's what they're doing, filling it out with some.
The outfield's the one area of the Padres that seems completely set. Tatis,
not in the minors,
Merrill,
though.
Laureano,
not
on the
minors.
Big league level.
I'm going to let myself dream on Nick Schnell.
Schnell.
Yep. I've never heard of any of these.
Depth
guys.
Is always good, but
you got to have depth.
Spring training invite? Don't know.
Minor league contract.
Minor league contract.
Yeah.
Sometimes they come with a spring training invitation, sometimes they do not.
Doesn't say nothing on C-Rod here, nothing on Schnellzilla. And what was the other one? Jace Bowen. He looks like a baseball player, man. He really does.
I mean, they are professionals.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with any of these cats. But, you needed depth. So these aren't the ones that are going to move the needle very much, per se. But definitely you need bodies up there.
Also, a little basketball breaking news from Sham Sharania. Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo is expected to be sidelined for approximately 2 to 4 weeks with a right calf strain, sources tell ESPN. Is there a chance that he never returns to the Milwaukee Bucks? A lot of rumors floating around that he's unhappy.
I believe we'll find out in the Rindel report.
And he follows people.
As we discussed earlier.
We will find out momentarily in the Rindel report.
But first. What do we do at 9 o'clock every day?
Oh, biggest fan. Sorry about that. My bad. It is time to announce the name of today's biggest fan.
You're gone full Friday on a Thursday.
Looking forward to tomorrow.
If you hear your name called, you're going to have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. I'm easily distracted by the words breaking news.
Oh, I know.
I'm sorry about that. It's just ingrained in me. If you call back, you will qualify for our grand prize. 20 tickets for you and your friends. A night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game this coming season with all the fans. Staff catered by Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine. This morning's biggest fan is Marissa Fant from Oceanside.
Or Font.
Could be. Marissa Fant. It's F-A-N-T from Oceanside. 833-288-0973. Register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggest fan. Oh, whatever will Polly be talking about this morning on the Rindel Report.
Yeah, gotta find Polly. A new story, but I'll...
Yeah, that's no, it's fine. All right. You can do that one.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindel Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest...
Welcome to the Rindel Report with Paul Rindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy?
All right. Purple in the chat said, man, Ben really does hate the Rindel Report.
He does.
He said 100%. He said, my favorite part. That breaks my heart.
I do not.
Thank you, Purple.
Not true.
Well, anyways, let's get to my one sports story. breaking news. I don't know if you guys heard this. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Ooh,
he's going to be
he's hurt.
Possibly for a couple of weeks with a calf strain.
Let's come up with something original next time, Paulie.
Yeah,
come
for
on.
Real.
Yeah. No, that's the latest news on Giannis. But
that's
there
not
has
the big
been,
news, actually.
There has been, he's been in the news now for a few days. He is not, reportedly, not very happy with his situation in Milwaukee.
Okay.
Now, he's been very successful there. MVP awards, NBA championships. And like all good things, they have to come to an end at some point. His side has expressed they're not comfortable anymore. He's not happy there. He's not happy with the direction the Bucks are going. Could they possibly move him, and where would he want to go? Well, there's one team that jumps to the very top of his list, and everyone believes that he would want to be traded to the LA Lakers.
Wow.
Thought it was worth note that over the weekend on his social media, now, again, you never know how much of a sign this can be when people do stuff on social media on their profiles. He deleted every post on X. His most recent post was from like 2021, and it was "Happy Birthday, Kobe," with a picture of Kobe in a Lakers jersey. So if you go to his page, that's the most recent
one. On Instagram or Twitter?
That was on Twitter. On Instagram, he deleted any picture of him in a Bucks uniform.
Wow.
All except for two photos on his Instagram page, timeline, of him holding the trophy from a few years back.
What's his beef? Just the direction? Are they not good this year?
He just wants to win, and
wants to move on.
Dame Lillard was—they
got
released.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 10-13 right now. Not going well.
It's not. It hasn't
been. He's under contract.
He is under contract.
Yeah. He signed a big contract, no?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Let's see. His.
Okay, here we go.
Contract.
He's got a 2027 player option. He can use that to scare off teams he'd prefer not to join. No one's paying a premium for a rental. They're talking Giannis to the Knicks.
Knicks is the one that I'm hearing more. I mean, he may want to go to the Lakers. Is it realistic? Well, I don't see the trade.
The Warriors.
Compatibility between the two teams.
$54 million this year against the cap. $58.5 million next year. And then $62.7 million.
It's fine, though. He's
in 2027.
Giannis. I mean, he's worth max money, clearly.
Yeah, he signed a three-year, $175 million guaranteed contract.
Wow. He's very, very good.
Extremely good. One of the best ever.
And he's been, won a title, but Milwaukee is not where you maximize your career necessarily.
Well, is that what it's about, or is it about, hey, we stink and you guys are trading away good
players? Yeah, it's one thing to be in a smaller market and be really, really good, but the small market and not good is a killer combination that no superstar wants to be selling.
Yeah. Now, Doc Rivers said before the game last night, there's been no conversations between Giannis's management his people and the team. Sham Sharani and others, they're saying, it's not true. They've been talking about potentially how to work this out. Can we find a solution and keep him here, keep him happy, or is it time to move on?
That's such a nightmare for an organization once that star player goes, yeah, I know I got a few years left, but trade me. I'm going to delete pictures like I'm 14 years old and broke up with my girlfriend.
I think you kind of have to move on at this point.
Wow. Got him over a barrel.
True.
It's just one of those things. Yeah, you're like, I can understand if somebody's like, who cares if he deleted a bunch of posts on social media? I can also see other people going, yeah, that's extremely telling.
It's very telling.
Paulie, before you move on, let's go to line one. Caller, who's this?
Hello.
Hi, Hello. Is this Marissa?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Marissa. You have made it within the 10 minutes and qualified for our grand prize and our biggest fan contest. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Is it Font or Fant?
It's Fant.
Fant. You got it right.
Good job, Ben.
Good job, Benny.
Welcome.
Right.
Thank
Marissa,
you
are good to go. We got you marked down for today. You're all set.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. That was Marissa.
That was Marissa, everybody. All right, we'll keep you up to speed on the Giannis drama. That's it for sports. I only got one other story here. Feel good story. Usually we'll do something weird, something goofy. Every once in a while, I like to spread some good news. Got a story here. It's a good story, has a positive ending, but it still breaks my heart as you read through it. Got a story here about an 88-year-old Army vet out of Detroit who is working as a cashier at a grocery store.
Right.
Because he worked for one of the GM, I believe, in Detroit for his whole career. And then GM went bankrupt in 2012, and he lost everything, all his pension. So he had to go back to work. Because then a few years later, his wife got sick. He was in his 70s or 80s. She got sick, passed away. He was left with all the medical debt. So he is working like he's a greeter and a cashier at a grocery store. He's 88 years old.
You're depressing me, Paulie, but thank you.
So a Instagram influencer out of Australia. He's got like 2 million followers, Sam something. He got wind of this guy's story, flew to Detroit, met this man at his place of business, at the, it's a Meijer grocery store. And he just talked to
Meijer,
by the way. Yeah, Meijer. M-E-I-J-E-R. And he met this man, and he just said, his name is Ed. And he said, hey, I heard a little bit of your story. Can you tell me? And he's documenting it. He puts it out on his Instagram feed. And he said, Ed said, you know, I just, he's like, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? He goes, I want to go explore. I want to live. I have to work, though, because I have to pay all my bills and my late wife's medical stuff. This guy, this influencer, put it out on his Instagram. Some people that follow him started a GoFundMe. And in like a matter of days, people have raised $1.5 million so that this old man can retire and go travel and live his life happy.
Fantastic.
I just thought that was so awesome. Ed Bombas.
Ed Bombas. Sweet. I don't want to be working when I'm 88.
No.
Well, then on the very last day of the Ben and Woods program, whenever that is, we'll do a worldwide GoFundMe to make sure that you don't have to work
ever again. I hope I don't lose my pension.
Pension.
Good luck.
What do you do, though? You work your whole life, your whole career to one company. You're pouring into that pension. And then they go bankrupt and they're like, sorry, you're screwed. Like that.
It's criminal, man. It's criminal. Absolutely criminal.
And but those fat cat executives walked away with their golden parachute.
Yeah, man. Probably. And then they're saddled with the medical debt.
I watched the Instagram, the original video that went out and got millions of people's eyes on it. And it was heartbreaking, but heartwarming at the same time.
I've seen those stories where like elderly couples have been married for 50 years and one of them gets very sick. They divorce.
Yes.
So they're not on the hook for the medical. It's so sad that that's what it's come to.
It's funny you mentioned a feel-good story. I was scrolling Instagram yesterday, and I saw Aaron Paul. Remember Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad fame?
Yep.
He was on a train from London to Paris, and he has the camera up close, and he's like trying not to, you know, he's on a train, so it's a public place. He goes, hey, I just had this incredible cab ride in London. Talked to this guy for like 30 minutes. Phenomenal dude. Phenomenal.
Cabs in London are, I mean, so well regulated. Have you been in a cab in London?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if you had or not. Go ahead.
No. What is it?
They have to know by heart every street in London. They take a test. They have to be personable. You cannot become a cabbie in London without knowing by heart. Like every alley, every side street, you know.
I didn't know the cab.
It's a big thing in London.
Well, he had a great one, right? So he gets in this cab, and the guy says he's a firefighter full-time. The cab gig is a side hustle. So Aaron Paul just had this great conversation. The guy said, man, he's so genuine, down to earth. He said, and the guy said, yeah, you know, he said, what are you doing for Christmas? He goes, I got to work. I'm a fireman. You know, he's like, I'm working Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. I won't get to open presents with my kids. He goes, it's, you know, it is what it is. Just trying to make ends meet. I got three kids. So he was so touched. He said, I got out of the cab and I meant to like lean in and say, can I get your email, your phone number or whatever? And he goes, somebody said hi to me. I turned around to say hi. He sped off. So he goes, if anybody knows, here's the description. Here's what he does. Blah, blah, blah. Sure enough, man, the guy's wife writes, oh my God, that's my husband. He called me after you got out of the cab. I was like, I just drove Aaron Paul. He was the coolest guy. Aaron Paul now is like, I'm going to make sure that this dude has an elite Christmas. I'm going to send, he didn't say what he was going to do, but he said, I'm going to make sure that this guy and his family have an absolutely incredible Christmas.
You can't keep getting away with it.
I said, that is how it's done. That's how it's done. So I like the feel good mood, Paulie. It was really sweet.
That is nice.
I saw over the weekend, I see it every year now for the last 10 years, the story of the kid who sent the wrong text.
It's my favorite part of Thanksgiving.
The wrong person, and it was this old woman, and she goes, oh, wrong number, because he was like, hey, are you coming over for Thanksgiving or something? And she goes, oh, you got the wrong number. And they have
become
best
friends. Can I come anyway?
Best
friends.
She's
like, yeah.
They have had Thanksgiving together every year for 10 years, I think.
Yep.
It was a 10-year anniversary.
It's the sweetest story. It's the only. I tweeted the other day, it's the only good story on the internet. These two. I look forward to that picture every Thanksgiving. She battled cancer.
Yep.
He was there for her through that, and they've just become like family, which I think is so sweet.
Humanity is so wonderful and terrible at the same time.
I like when it's wonderful, man, because those stories make me happy.
Paulie, thank you very much. Paulie, I'm sorry that I upstaged you a little bit on the honest story, but you still came through.
But it's all good.
Really appreciate it. All right. When we come back, it's Thursday. 9:20 means football threesome.
Oh, yeah,
are you ready? Look ahead to tonight's game. Best matchup of the weekend. We'll make a best bet against the spread as well. A little football talk next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, as the holiday season approaches, are you making plans for 2026? How would you like to be a brand new you in 2026? Up to 10 to 20% lighter than you are right now, because you could lose that weight and more with SDFatLoss.com. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days on the program, and I have kept all the weight off. They will teach you how to eat real foods, not shakes and bars, but real food like chicken and steak, and still lose the weight. Up to a pound of fat per day with no exercise, no counting points or calories, and no injections with those potential side effects. Chris Ello did it. Matt Scraby did it. John Flint down the hall lost a bunch of weight, 30 to 40, 50 pounds even. Tier 1s have been doing it. You could be next. And if you act right now, get your free consultation at sdfatloss.com and sign up for the program. You can get $400 or more off. Lowest prices of the year as long as you sign up before December 31st. And you can start now or you can wait until after the holidays. Totally up to you. Just do the sign up, and then you're on your way to a new you in 2026, thanks to SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary. We dropped the ball yesterday.
Did we?
We did.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not sure of how we would have avoided it, but we had a special guest on and did not wish him a happy birthday.
Well, it wasn't his birthday yet.
Well, it is today. Happy birthday, Joe Musgrove.
Jojo!
It's not like he's supposed to tell us. By the way, guys, tomorrow's my birthday, so you might want to wish me a happy birthday in advance or something.
You guys start saying goodbye to him, and he's like,
forgetting anything? I know you guys forgot Ben's birthday time.
We're really on top of things. You Google every guest. Let's check their birthday, make sure we're not missing anything. We're never going to do that. So anyway,
I'll wish him a happy birthday on our behalf.
Okay, please do. Please do. Happy birthday to Joe Musgrove.
Yeah.
This comes the same day every year. We should remember. He's a December 4th baby.
What?
I had to look it up. Who else is born? The prep service, they do a very good job of letting everybody know. Jay-Z turned 56 today. Fred Armisen. Jeff Bridges turned 76 today. It's Wink Martindale's birthday.
Okay. The late Wink Martindale.
And guess who's turning 41 today?
Who?
Old Jelly Roll.
Ah, it's Jelly Roll's birthday, too.
Surprised you know that.
Can't escape.
You really can't.
Beardless Jelly Roll at 41.
Everywhere, I'm inundated.
He has 7 birthdays a month just to stay in the news.
At every turn. I turn the corner, there's Jelly Roll. Everywhere I go.
I am not okay.
So he goes, happy birthday, Woods. It really should be my Halloween costume every year. It just was perfect. It really was perfect. People in my neighborhood still make fun of me for that.
While we're on birthdays, happy 61st birthday to Marissa Tomei.
Oh, mama.
One.
Sita. You're a big fan.
I am.
As am I. You saw The Wrestler.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
61, I don't believe it.
I don't either.
I don't believe it.
Whew, mama.
All right, you ready for a football threesome?
Sure.
Please, Paulie.
Can Ben and Woods interest you in a threesome?
A threesome would be fun.
No, not that kind of threesome.
Talk dirty to me.
We're talking end arounds, the best tight ends in the world, and going all the way in this game of inches.
2 inches short, maybe less. Story of my life.
It's the NFL Threesome with Ben and Woods, brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place, on 97.3 The Fan.
Personal file, 69, offense. He was giving them the business.
Start with a look at tonight's game, which is actually
pretty good.
One of the better Thursday night matchups you're going to get for two reasons. First of all, very important game. Cowboys at the Lions here on 97.3 The Fan. It's essentially a playoff eliminator. The loser is going to have a playoff percentage under like 20%. They both need a win desperately. So you've got plenty of motivation. The Lions are at home, but they're beat up, and the Cowboys have been playing well. They're looking for their fourth straight win tonight. 6-5-1 for the Cowboys, 7-5 for the Lions. They also both have a week off, which is rare on Thursday nights. Usually you're working with two teams that are only getting 3 days
short
off
week,
on short
yeah.
weeks, but they both played on Thursday last week on Thanksgiving. So they get a full, if odd, week of preparation, which should lead to maybe a higher quality of football than we're used to.
Good game tonight.
On a Thursday night.
I like that. I'll be tuning in.
Pretty good game this evening. And then we've got a bunch of choices for the most intriguing matchup of the weekend. Several first place clashes.
Yeah.
All right, which one do you want to pick?
I'm taking the obvious one. The Chicago Bears and Green Bay Packers.
Very important game.
Is the one that you look at and pencil, you know, circle in pencil, Benny, and say this is the one I want to watch, certainly. Right now, Green Bay is they're 8-3-1 and where the hell did it go? 8-3-1 and the NFC North, and the Bears are 9-3. This game's what? Soldier Field. And they won five in a row. Packers won three in a row. Something's got to give at some point. Should be a great game.
Paul, I'll let you take another first place matchup if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, that's the game.
That's the premier game.
Pittsburgh-Baltimore is intriguing.
6-6. They're both 500, but they're both tied for first place. Right. That's a hugely important game in the AFC North. Now, they play again on week 18. But the winner of this game obviously has a huge advantage in what has actually been one of the worst divisions in football this year. Every team has a negative point differential. No one's really playing that well right now. The Ravens have bounced back from their 1-5 start, but not that impressively. Joe Burrow's only two games back. I mean, the Bengals aren't out of it. They play the Bills. I mean, Burrow against Allen is always an intriguing matchup.
But the Bengals
feel the same.
They're only two games out of first place.
4-8.
I know, but you only have to win your division.
I know.
Because the Ravens and Steelers play twice, though, that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't up ground, but they're not totally out of it.
They're cool.
And then the Jags play the Colts,
that's the other one.
8-4 against 8-4, tied for first place, just a game ahead of the Texans in the AFC South. Now, that's been surprisingly one of the best divisions in football. It rarely is, but the Jags have been playing great. They've won three in a row. The Colts have fallen off the map, but they were one of the best teams for the first 10 weeks of the season. And the Texans are winning four in a row, and they're just a game back. So right on hot on the heels of both of those teams, which makes that a pretty intriguing matchup. It's kind of I said last Sunday was kind of boring. This one should be a pretty good NFL weekend coming up.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's really just one that stands out in a major way.
That's the biggest one, for sure. All right, and then our best bet of the week against the spread, I'll go with the Colts-Jags game. First place showdown, as we said, but the Jags are the team that's playing better. They're at home. They've won three in a row. Indy's lost 3 of 4, and I'm getting 1.5 points. I'll go ahead and take Jacksonville at home and bet against the Colts and see if they're Daniel Jones playing on a broken leg slide continues this weekend.
That's a good pick. I'm actually going to take the Bills and the -5.5. I think they can win by at least a touchdown against Cincinnati, so I'll take the Bills.
You do not believe in the return of Joe Burrow and the Bengals?
Not so much.
Fair.
Honestly, I'm looking at the Chicago Bears, man. They keep everything close. Every game, they seem to be right there in it. This one, it doesn't get much bigger for them this year than the
6.5 line.
Now, I don't know what the weather's going to look like. That could always change everything. It's going to be cold, I'm sure.
It's in Green Bay, actually.
But you're giving me 6.5 points. I think the Bears keep it close. Only other game I was looking at is the Commanders against the Vikings, because the Vikings are actually that bad.
Yep.
The Commanders are getting 2 points.
Not terrible.
I think you take that.
Is it crazy that the Bears are ahead of the Packers, right?
Yeah.
But the Packers are the number three choice right now to win the Super Bowl, odds-wise, behind the Rams and the Seahawks. The Bears are the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Wow, they do not believe.
Plus 2,500 for the Bears to win the Super Bowl. They're essentially the same as the Texans and right around the Lions, who probably won't even make the playoffs. The Lions are plus 2,200. They're probably not going to make the playoffs. The Bears are plus 2,500. They're the one seed right now in the NFC. How is that possible?
Fraudulent. That's what they think. 100%. That's a fraudulent 9-3 or
8-3. Bettors do not believe in Caleb Williams and the Bears yet.
Wow. Threesome's over. You hate threesome's when the threesome over. Ends.
Yeah. We got one segment left. Is there another major rule change coming to Major League Baseball? And is it possible that I'm here for this one as well. The last few rule changes have worked out pretty well. Talk about Jason Stark's new piece in The Athletic as we wrap things up and head to 10 o'clock with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Don't forget, we are teaming up with Hop Run Tours for an unforgettable trip to the Windy City next summer to watch San Diego take on Chicago at one of the most historic stadiums in all of baseball. What does it rhyme with, Woods?
Schmigley.
Yep. The package from Hop Run Tours will include round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations for three nights at a four-star hotel. I don't know what hotel that is.
I haven't heard either.
But, hey, four-star hotel. Stadium tour, tickets to two games, plus a group dinner with Ben and Woods. Visit 973thefansd.com/Chicago for all of the details. And don't delay too long, as we were told by David Jay, that spots are almost filled up.
Yeah, buddy.
Which is crazy, but amazing, Tier 1s. This special fan trip brought to you by Hop Run Tours, who handles all the travel and event details. 97.3 The Fan, proud to promote this package.
I'm not proud to promote this idea.
So when we go to Schmigley next summer, could there be, likely not going to happen this season, but it could, an arc, like essentially like a three-point line painted across the middle of the outfield from foul line to foul line. Yeah. And what would be the purpose of it?
Curved.
Like a curved arc from foul line to foul line.
Essentially mimicking the wall.
Yes, yeah. But somewhere right in the middle of the outfield. Why would they be doing that? We will talk about it after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So we've seen the rule changes that were implemented a couple of seasons ago.
Yep.
Effectively, I think almost everybody agrees. The pitch clock, the bigger bases, and the infield shift ban. And the rules stating that infielders have to start on the dirt
on
their proper side of second base one way or the other.
Gosh, it's funny because I do kind of like that part of it, but this one bothers me.
And I know why, and I know what the reason is. And Jason Stark, who wrote this piece, kind of addressed that as well.
By the way, keep in mind, Jason Stark would not write this article if it wasn't being considered heavily. He would not spin his wheels.
So this idea has not only been considered.
It's been tried.
It was actually tried during extended spring training, just to see what it would look like.
Yep.
And what we're talking about is a line in which outfielders would have to stand in front of at the start of every pitch.
Yep.
You could not play deep anymore. And now we'd be talking about maybe about 10 to 12 feet in front of where outfielders are usually positioned. And the reason for it, and they have the numbers to back this up, and Jason Stark goes through it in The Athletic, that in the last decade, doubles and triples are dying. That baseball, the numbers by hundreds per season, you're seeing less doubles and triples, which fans believe, correctly in my opinion, are more of the most exciting plays in baseball. You got a ball into the gap. You've got runners on the move. You've got potential, you know, cutoffs and plays at bases. You've got potential great outfield diving plays. And instead, you have most of the time center fielders and left and right fielders who are playing almost with their feet on the warning track.
No doubles.
Or just not letting the ball fall in. They make a routine catch at the wall. How many times this season? Manny up, whoever. Routine catch at the wall. Routine catch at the wall. Just happens all the time. And baseball, because, you know, people who work on these teams are very smart, have learned it makes more sense for run prevention to just keep teams from getting doubles and triples. Let a single or two in. It's hard to score runs by stringing together three or four hits in a row.
Don't we know it?
So let's just prevent them from getting the bigger hits, the doubles and the triples. So it's either a home run or a single.
Triples are essentially non-existent.
Exactly.
They like don't exist really anymore. What was the league leader in triples last year?
Probably
seven,
Corbin Carroll.
Eight,
probably
ten.
In the teens. But he also plays in a ballpark that is huge with weird angles that, you know, bounce off in different directions. But most ballparks don't have that.
Corbin Carroll, 17 triples. Jaron Duran, 13.
I bet a place like Wrigley Field had five triples all season because the ball got, like, stuck in an ivy somewhere or something.
Fenway, Chase Field, and what was the other one?
Arizona, Boston, San Francisco.
Okay, yeah.
Weird Lyle from Washington had 11. Zach McKinstry, Detroit, had 11.
Yeah, they're just not, they just don't happen very much. Shohei
Ohtani had 9.
Yeah, he's fast.
He moves.
He can move.
So the idea would be by forcing outfielders to play more shallow, you would create more excitement. Balls over guys' heads that they'd have to run back, and you don't know if they're going to catch it or not. The runners are, you know, moving around the bases, creating more excitement for fans by limiting the strategic analytic advantages that teams have determined that they can get by the positioning of outfielders.
How's this going to be enforced?
There's an arc going to be an arc painted across
like an
the
actual,
middle.
You're going to see it
like
on
a
field.
Line. Yeah, you can't start over the
and
line.
Aesthetically is probably what Woods hates. The idea,
no, actually,
because you can do the shift in baseball without painting anything because the dirt's right. already there.
You don't have to paint a line down the middle.
You don't have to paint a line anywhere. Now, there's the thought that you could do it with, you know, clever mowing of grass,
yeah.
and, you know, like two-toned outfields, even in a place that's indoors that you just have to stand on the inner tone of green as opposed to the outer tone of green when the play starts.
I want to keep an open mind. I do want to keep an open mind. But I think, because it would be frustrating to be a hitter these days. And you're like, man, I put a charge into that ball. That ball is in the gap. Traditionally, it's going to one-hop the wall. But that guy was playing essentially at the fence and made a great catch on it. But that's a double. In every other AB I've ever taken in my entire life, that's a double. I want to keep an open mind about it. I just don't know, man. It just feels, again, like once you keep messing with the strategy of the game, can you get dinked and dunked to death playing your outfield super deep? Yeah, man, it can come back and burn you. But I think that what they figured out is over the course of 162, give them their singles. Just let them have their singles. Give it to them.
Plus,
let
the dinks and dunks are kind of boring.
Yeah,
if you're
and dunks
a fan
are kind of
now. Jason Stark did. This is a really great piece. If you want to check it out at the Athletic, but he talks about how far defensive and analytics have advanced, and it's not simply, you know, you see the cards that they pull out.
Yeah,
they're so detailed now that it's not simply okay. He's a left-handed hitter. I'm going to be here. I'm a right-handed hitter. I'm here. They specifically have cards for. This guy, in this count, with whatever pitch is coming, you're supposed to be here. And they're taking away now where you hit it the hardest. Like, they have tracking all your at-bats from, like, ever. From seasons past, from weeks past, even recent data. They will, in the last 2 weeks, this guy's been hitting a lot of line drives, exactly 287 feet to this spot. So we're going to move our outfielder to the point where we know he can get there on a hard hit ball. Instead of a double, that's going to be an easy out because we're positioning him there. It is so advanced that they're depressing offense again. And that's, you know, why did they do the pitch clock? It was depressing offense. You were giving pitchers way too much time to recover after every pitch. Keep it moving. Bigger bases. You get more stolen bases. You're trying to promote more offensive, interesting baseball. The shifts, no one likes to see a ground ball to the shallow left fielder. That's really there's a shallow right fielder who's really the second baseman. Take that away. More offense, more hits. This would be accomplishing the same thing by making outfielders play more shallow.
Potentially. Okay, so then do they... Here's an interesting wrinkle. They can't go over the line. How far in front of the line can they stand? Because when Luis Arraez would have had 60 more hits last year because they were playing Rover on Luis Arraez, the left fielder would...
They're not worried about taking away bloop singles.
Okay.
I don't think they feel like a bloop single is exciting.
But again, I'm talking he would hit the ball hard for him to the left side on a line. And guess who was playing Rover? The left fielder. Like, I dare you to hit it over my head. I dare you. I'll give you the double if you can do it. You know, for Arraez, for guys like that, do they have to stand on the line? How far in front can they be?
Because I think you could be anywhere in front of the line on the grass.
In front of the
You're
line.
An outfielder. You can play wherever you want. You just can't go behind that line.
Okay. Start behind the line.
Now, I mean, I would imagine that if you've got a slugger up who you know hits a lot of deep fly balls,
your heels are on the line.
Your heels are on the line, and you're ready to sprint back immediately to try to maximize. But that'll place even more premium on speed in the outfield.
I wonder.
So he goes through the numbers. I don't have these specific ones, but I think it was like 310
max
or whatever. I mean, it's an arc, so I don't know from the center field, you know. It's about 12 feet from where kind of the standard positioning is right now.
Hitters love it.
Very much so.
Yeah, the hitters are like, go ahead. And Alex Bregman said, yeah, I would love it if they had a little circle that they had to stand in because we're the ones actually hitting. Trying to keep an open mind about it.
You don't notice the shift ban, really. Aesthetically, as a fan, when I watch a game, I don't think about, oh, they have to stand here, because they look like they're standing in normal places.
Yeah.
You know, shortstop's playing second base.
I really don't think about it much anymore either. I really don't. I don't think about the pitch clock much. I don't think about the bigger bases. You get used to all of this.
And fans would get used to this implemented as well.
Theo Epstein says it's an interesting concept to think about whether it's worth considering that type of rule that forces outfielders to start 5 to 10 or 15 feet shallower than the major league average now and create a lot more action on balls that go in the air. Keeping an open mind, wow, it actually probably would. Now, they talked to some players. Padres' Jake Cronenworth. I think we've already changed so much that we probably shouldn't change anything else. That does not surprise me from Jake. The Cardinals' Brendan Donovan. Obviously, extra base hits are extremely important, but I don't want to tamper with the game. Teams have to do a good job of game planning to make sure we're not getting on base. I think it's up to us hitters to try to find a way to make adjustments. And there's just some good hitters.
But what's the adjustment that you get when you are scorching the ball to the gap? What other adjustment can you make?
Except if for that's back an up and...
Do you really want them to make the adjustment? I need to be more of a punch and Judy hitter that's going to bloop balls in. No one wants that.
No, keep it.
No one wants to turn your power hitters into slashers because, well, the power shots that they hit are turning into too many outs. No one wants to see just home runs and walks all the time either. We've realized that that's kind of boring.
Jason says, what makes for great baseball strategy doesn't always make for great entertainment strategy. And really, that is what it's all about. I don't know. Maybe I could get behind it.
Really?
Maybe I could.
Dominic says, let's just have the outfielders wear blindfolds.
Now, that'd be a good idea. Have they implemented this into adult league already and I didn't know about it? Because I haven't hit a double in a long, long, long time.
Are they playing so deep on you to keep you from hitting doubles because they have so much just inherent respect for powerful stroke?
Have they moved that line?
Is it possible you're just not very good?
I don't know. I mean, my average was pretty good, but I just didn't hit for a lot of doubles. They've sneakily been introducing this into
opposite. This would get more doubles if they introduced it.
That's true. More doubles.
They're playing you on the no doubles defense deep and daring you to beat them with a single blooped into the outfield.
That's true. It's true. So, yeah, what about the home run robbery that we all love so much?
That ain't happening.
Well, Tatis could still get back there, but it's definitely going to be a tougher play, especially one that's hit on a line. Now, a high fly ball that gets to the fence, you'll have time to get back and get under it still.
It's interesting.
And would the arc come from the wall out?
Yeah, the foul line.
Foul line, yeah, whatever.
Right, and not from home plate.
Because imaginary fence. Line. Like, you know, you used to play a kid when you were kids, and you'd be like, hey, home run derby is over. Throw my glove out there. That's the imaginary line.
Saying, every stadium has such different dimensions that...
Yeah.
How does it make it fair?
I'd imagine the arc would be a clean line as opposed to like following the zigzags of the outfield, though.
But like Yankee Stadium, you just don't have to run back as far.
Probably right field.
Yeah. I mean, it would still keep different ballparks would play differently. Should.
But like a deeper ballpark, you would think the line should be deeper, like closer, you know, the same amount of distance from the warning track.
That's interesting.
Universally.
Yeah. So is it the distance from home plate? So it would be the same from every ballpark or the distance from the wall? So it'd be the different.
Now there's those
different.
There's
every
those
ballpark.
Places with the cavernous center fields. That's like, oh man, I still got a.
Too close, you'd have all kinds of inside the park home runs in San Francisco.
Right.
You know, into that gap. Like, oh my, I don't even bother going after it. There's no way I'm going to get there in time.
Ray says not going to happen. Ray, I've had those thoughts about baseball too, and never on the planet did I ever think it would be. There would be a rule in baseball that said your reliever has to throw to three batters. I thought, hey man, you've got this many guys in your bullpen, you got this many outs to get.
Do it however you want.
Do as you will. I hate the three batter rule. I think it's terrible. I know managers don't like it either. Does it speed up the game a little bit? Sure. Yeah. Was it annoying watching the loogies come in for one left-hander?
Does it promote offense because you get better matchups for hitters? Because you know occasionally that loogie has to face a tough righty, because he didn't get his out. So now you've got a chance for a bigger inning. That's the point of it all. As long as baseball ratings and attendance have been going up, and they have, I'd imagine that Rob Manfred and the powers that be are going to keep looking at potential changes
to make it
because
better?
They've been working.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, people like this. What else can we do to make people like our game even more? They were so resistant to it for a century.
They were. And we ripped them for that, too.
Mm-hmm. Now they're becoming a little more open-minded to ways to make the game better.
I'm going to keep an open mind. I'm going to think about it. Jason Stark puts it in a really in a smart way, as he usually does.
Maybe we should have him on the show.
I'd love to. Anytime.
If we did, he would appear on the David P. Shapiro Fan
sure
Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorney, is helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit David P. Shapiro Law. com. We will wrap up the week tomorrow. I believe Darren Smith will join us. We can talk about this. We can talk about soccer, the World Cup draw, and much more as we get you ready for the weekend. Big college football weekend
Huge.
As well. Championship games. We'll know by Monday, we'll know all the playoff participants. It'll be decided. The matchups will be set. And, you'll know what's coming up. Bowl games will be announced. We'll know where San Diego State is headed. The Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, perhaps.
Is that a real one?
That's a real bowl. Real or fake? Bowl games? No, Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl is probably where they're headed, is my guess.
The Jelly Roll Sandwich Bowl also coming next year.
All right, Braden and Frank are coming up next. For Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Thursday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.